So God has brought his people from Egypt through Moses, and then Moses had passed away, and then he ended up, God has chosen Joshua to lead the people into the promised land with an inheritance that God had not promised just Joshua at the time when he took over, but it was a promise that God gave to them all the way back when they began to lead and go out of Egypt, out of captivity. And what we see here is we see that Joshua here with the 12 tribes, and these tribes are gathered together, taking over the lands that God has promised, and those Jebusites, Canaanites, and all those Hittites, and all those lands that God has given to them. And so now it's time to give out some of this inheritance that God is wanting and giving to his people. And what we find out is they're coming to a crossroads of where there is some of the land has been distributed, but what we're going to find out today is that somebody's not happy. You know, when someone dies and there's an inheritance, there's always somebody that's not happy. They didn't get enough. They didn't get what they thought they deserved. They didn't get the things that they thought they were owed to them, although they didn't work for it, but because their blood, they just figured it belonged to them. And so we're going to come to a place here today, I want to share a couple of things, because I'm going to read about, we're going to talk about Manasseh today and Ephraim, but what I want to do is just show you kind of here, I think you can see that there. So Jacob has 12 sons, all right, so we can understand this. He has 12 sons, and they're listed all the way down. But the problem is, what we find out is some of them do not get any land. So we see the Levi right there. They're the Levites. They're the priests. They don't get any. Their inheritance is not the land. But we also see Joseph. Joseph is different. Joseph is split into two by his two sons. If you can read the book of at the end of Genesis, you'll find Joseph had two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh. And what we find out that those two kind of take the 10 and 11th spot. Okay, so those two are the ones we're going to talk about today, mostly Manasseh. But as people had kind of read the 12 tribes, you won't see Ephraim and Manasseh in the very beginning when it comes to Jacob's sons, but they are a part of that. But I just want to share that so you can understand, and knowing when we read Manasseh and Ephraim, that they are part of that, but they come both out of the bloodline, the tribe of Joseph. Okay? So that's what I want to share with you today. So Joseph is a part of this. So Manasseh and Ephraim is a part of that piece of Joseph, okay? They come out of that tribe and have been divided into two tribes, where the Levi doesn't get an inheritance because they are the priests. They do the godly things that God has called them to do, so their inheritance is to provide the priestly things that God wants to be done for the people. So they don't get that inheritance like the rest. This is about land. This is about things. This is the big piece that God has already given to them in the past. He's given it to them. They just had to get there. And if you know your Bible, you'll know that Moses took them up and sent 12 spies into the land. They came back, and there were two that came back with a positive, we can do this thing. They didn't look how big the giants were. They looked how big God was. But there were 10 other spies that says, wow, they're not seeing how big God is. They're seeing how big the enemy was. And so they had to wander out in the desert and all them dry lands for another 40 years until all those people passed away, except for Caleb and Joshua. Amazing. And Joshua is the one that God has chosen to take Moses' place. Joshua has done a really good job. He's just one of the two that have all of that. So the one of the two, him and Caleb, that come out of the land of Egypt. So they were from there from the very, very get-go. And so we find now Joshua's in charge, and they're getting ready to come to him with some complaints and some things. And what we're going to find out here, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn over to Joshua chapter 17. This is additional inheritance that they got. Now I want to share with you, Manasseh is what we're going to be talking about. Manasseh has already got an inheritance. They've got a pretty good-sized land. As you can see up there on the other map, I think it is. Well, you can see it there. So Manasseh, and that one there would be on my left right there, be my left that side. They have that one. Now they're going to move into the next one. But here's what's happening. So we're going to go into Joshua chapter 17. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. And what we're going to see here is it says, Joseph's descendants said to Joshua, "Why did you give us only one tribal allotment as an inheritance? We have many people because the Lord has been blessing us greatly." Now, one thing I do want to share with you is that Manasseh and, again, Manasseh and Ephraim are together. Now, scriptures and different people will debate whether Ephraim was there or not. You can see that here it doesn't look like it, but in a couple of verses down, it looks like they are all together. Let's just say they are all part of Joseph's tribe, part of Joseph's bloodline, okay? So we don't have to figure out, was Ephraim there or not? Ephraim is wanting, they're bringing this peace before them. But I also want to share with you that Joshua is not going to hold back. And Joshua, his tribe, you figure out which tribe is his. His tribe is Ephraim. So if he's in Ephraim, he is not going to pull any punches because he's not going to show any favoritism. Now you and your family, you have people that may show favoritism in your family. You may show favoritism more for one person in the family than the other. But God doesn't show favoritism. Now, you can get favor, but it doesn't mean God's going to show favoritism. Joshua is not showing favoritism here at all. And if anybody's going to say anything that could do it, Joshua could do it because this is part of his bloodline, but he's not going to do that. But here's what we see. Why did you only give us one tribal allotment? We're great. God has blessed us so much. And these allotments were given to these tribes by the Lord. But Manasseh struggles by only being given one tribal allotment. And they are big. There is a lot of them. And they have it there, but they want some more. But they throw something in there. They throw a little bit of pride in there. How many people? He says, we have a lot of people. God's blessed us. Okay? Pride is not a good thing to have when you have a complaint. You don't need to tell people how good you are, that you deserve something because of your name. You don't need to do that. Manasseh is doing that. God has blessed us greatly. Well, what about the other tribes? God's blessed them too. People usually go to bat for themselves, and they're going to bat for themselves. And Joshua has a piece that he wants to share with them. He has a rebuttal piece. He says, if you have so many people, Joshua replied to them, go to the forest and clear an area for yourselves. They're in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, because Ephraim, hill country, is too small for you. Huh. Joshua is saying that, yeah, I get it. You guys are a great people. I get that you are a great people. I get it. But there is more for you, and there is this land. But they didn't like it. They really don't like it. Well, what does Joshua say to do? Go over there and go to the forest and clear the land. Joshua knows what it looks like. But in verse 16, but the descendants of Joseph said, the hill country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who inhabit the valley area have iron chariots, both of Beth Shean with its surrounding villages and its Jezreel Valley. So here we have a problem. We have a problem with Manasseh wanting more. They want more. They want land, but they don't want that land. They don't want that land because it's hilly. They don't want that land because there's too many trees. They don't want that land because there's an enemy there. You see, here I want to share this. God has given them something right in front of them. Led them all through the desert for those 40 years. Led them all through all the other beginnings of it, all the way up to now. And here it is. We sometimes become the same way. Why are we not getting what we feel like we deserve? Why do we not have it? Well, sometimes God is saying, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there. Verse 17 says, so Joshua replied to Joseph's family. That is Ephraim and Manasseh. This is where we kind of think that they were all together with their leaders. You have many people in great strength. You will not have just one allotment, because the hill country will be yours also. It is a forest. Clear it. And its outlying areas will be yours. You can also drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and are strong. What we're seeing here is a back and forth piece, a conversation that Manasseh says, "This we don't want what you're giving us. We have what you gave us in the first part, but we don't want this extra. We want something that is different. It's too hilly. It's too many forests. There's too many enemies in it." You see, sometimes we have to do the work that God's called us. He's given us a gift, and you have got to do the work. People don't like the work, because the work is work. And what did he say again? He says, this is what he says, "Because the hill country will be yours. You need to get down there. You need to get up to that forest. You need to start clearing it." You clear it. It's yours. It's already yours. Now I would think that a couple of good guys that were real good would have said, "That's all I need to hear," and just slip right out the back and go get to work. I believe God's given a lot of territory to churches. I believe God's given a lot of people ministries. I believe in God's given a lot of people gifts and talents to do the works for the kingdom. But we complain. And we do things. And we don't like what he set in front of us because it takes work. He says, clear the land. Clear the forest. Cut down the trees. Cut down the trees. Huh. You know, I wrestle with that building across the street for about 7 years. Since we bought it, I wrestle with it. I still wrestle with it a little bit. But it's going to be on the agenda. We'll talk about it more in Vision Day. But I just want to share something with you. As I've been studying this, God says, quit looking at the building. Get over there and get it done. Get over there and get it done. Been talking to me about the neighborhood, planted you here. I've been wrestling with these scriptures for a week. Yeah, you had... Hey, I think we had eight acres out there off of Highway 9 going to be that next suburban church, and God planted it right here. What are you saying? I planted you. I give you the whole inner city of Huntington. Cut down the trees. Clear the land. Quit messing around. Quit playing around. Get it done. I expect it to be done. It's there it is. You want more? You'll get more. But you got to take care of what you got already. You got to keep pushing, and you got to keep doing it. So there's other ministries growing in the community. Praise the Lord for that. But here it is. God is doing work here. And we need to cut the trees down. We need to do the work that God's called us to do. We need to get busy about what he wants to happen. There are more people in this community that need to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. This isn't about what we didn't get. This isn't about what Manasseh didn't get. It's about what they got. And it's how they tried to figure out a way out of it, that they wanted more land. They didn't want that hilly country. I got to be careful how I say this, because this involves another church, but I'm going to say that. If you look at my old black and white pictures that one of the mission teams got, what this building looked like in the past, it had 6 fireplaces. It was amazing. From what I can tell in the pictures. Anyway, it looks like this. We're trying to redo it. But here's what I'm telling you. There was a moment where they had 1,000 members in this church. This wall would separate right here. This would fold up and go over there. And this would fold up and go in that spot there. The classes were all curtained. They could pull them back. There was seating here. The stage shrunk all the way back to way back here. And would only go to right here, way back in that corner, and only go to here. There was a sunken singing, big organ, and a choir was down in this. There was more of a pit here, not being lifted up. And this was all pews. Those were all pews, and they would rise up, and there were 1,000 people. They had 2 revivals, and they had an Easter service where they gained 75 people on one Sunday. This church was the number one church in the community. This is where I got to be careful. We got to go out there. And now sitting behind a high school is about as many people as we have. But God gave them the downtown. You got to be careful. Don't Don't till your own ground. Don't plant your own garden. It won't grow. If you're wanting God to be a part of it, you don't plant your own garden and you don't till your own ground. You go where He puts you, and you till and you plant where He puts you. And if your area happens to have more trees and more rocks and more hills, you deal with it, and He will provide all that you need to get it done. And there's so many ministries and so many people, listen to me, so many people that God's called them to a work, and they let it go. They let it go. Some people even let the relationship with God go, and they wonder why they're not where they were, why they're not close to the Lord like they used to be. This group of people were complaining. That's what they were doing. But Joshua tells them, listen, you got to get out there. You have the people. You have great strength. You have what you need. Manasseh, you have what you need. You see some of these up here, like you see, where's that? You see this Ashkar up here? That's a little one. Simeon, that later on, this Judah, they just kind of share it. This is where all the battle stuff is going on today. But you see these little ones in here, some of these guys, you see some of these like in there, that Ashkar and some of them, they're small because their tribes were smaller. They didn't need as much. But one of the biggest ones says it's not enough, and then they want that area. And Joshua says, you got to clear those trees out, man. You got to get out there and you got to start pushing. And you got to go do this thing. And even though there's an enemy in front of you that has iron chariots that you don't like, you got to work through that. You got to do that. You can beat them. You can do that because God's already given it to you. Sometimes it's good and wise to talk to people that's been around a little bit longer. Because they'll tell you just like this. Why would Joshua be able to say this stuff like this? Because he knew what he heard back in Egypt. God is calling you out of the Egypt slavery, out of Egypt, and taking you to a land that He has promised to you. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land of all these things. And here it is now. And Joshua remembers that. He holds tight to that. Now I want to share a side story for you real quick. Caleb's also doing his thing, and he's looking at a big old hill. He's 80 years old, and he's saying, this is what God's given to me. I've been waiting all this time. He's got a different attitude than these guys. He's saying, I'm doing this. Here it is. God's given me a hill. This is what he says. I need a real man. I am 80 years old. I'm going to fight, but I got a beautiful daughter here, and whoever can take up this land with me and whoever will fight with me and do this stuff, I'll give you my daughter as your wife. He says, I need a real man that's going to get up there and it's going to fight. I need a real man that can do it. And it ends up being a man. And he takes over. And you know what was in his land? Giants. But Caleb was never afraid of giants because he remembers walking through the Red Sea. He remembers what happens when people make golden calves in their lives. He remembers when people get bitter and say, I'm tired of eating manna food. Give us quail. And there's so much quail that covers the land. He remembers people when they rebelled against God. And God provided these snakes, and snakes were just biting people all over the place. He remembers when Miriam complained because Moses married an Egyptian woman. I had a foreign woman. And she ended up with leprosy. And she slowed the whole clan down, all the clans down for 7 days. That's the stuff that Caleb remembered. And God can do all those mighty acts. He can surely give me this mountain. Even if it's filled with giants. You never heard Caleb complain once in Scripture. But there was a lot of complaining. But it was by those who didn't want to get busy about what God has given to them. Our enemy is already defeated. You just got to do your part. The problem is sometimes we as Christians, we want to take a step back and just get into the lounge chair and say, God, you go to work. You do all the work for me, and then I'll step in when you get it all done. No, God says, listen, I've done what I can do. And you see so many times in Scripture, God says, let's go. Let's go. I want to give you five things today that'll stop you from getting what God has already given to you. You know, God's already given you many things. You know that, right? God has already given you many things. God's already given us these amazing ministries. He's given us a building across the street. God's given us the neighborhood, the inner city of Huntington, to be a lighthouse. There are churches that try to be like we are, try to do what we do, try to emulate what we do. Listen, that whatever they do, they do. But we are not to implement anyone. We are not to copy anyone. We are to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and follow the Lord and what He has called us to do. When you try to copy someone else, it doesn't work. Five things that will stop you from getting what God has already given to you. Number one, an attitude, a bad attitude. A bad attitude doesn't work when you're serving God. Amen? Because all you're going to do is just have a bad attitude. That's that whole thing about personal pride. That's what they had. We're big. God has already, He's blessed us so much. Yes, He has. But here it is. You won't even take the land that He's given to you. So here it is, an attitude. I deserve better. Wow. I think whatever God gives to you is good. Number one is attitude. Attitude. Whether that's a calling, whether that's a ministry, whether that's a job, whatever it is that God's given to you, we got to make sure we don't have a bad attitude with that. Number two, can't take shortcuts. There's no shortcuts with God, folks. There are no shortcuts in doing what God has given to you. There's no shortcuts in getting there. You even see that when God pulled the people out of Egypt, He didn't take the most direct route. He never took the most direct route. There were things that they needed to learn, things they needed to see. Patience, they had needed to learn patience, reliance, and they also needed to strengthen their faith in God. Sometimes when God's put something in front of you, we want to go the direct route. Listen, the direct route may be the most dangerous route. God is saving you from some crazy things. Listen, the best route you can do is listen to where the Holy Spirit leads you. You need to go three steps to the right. You need to go three steps forward, three steps to the left. Whatever God is calling you and how He's calling you to do it, listen, don't take shortcuts. Shortcuts are just quicker problems that's going to come. Number three, complaining. Don't complain on what God has given to you. Your call, you don't like it, don't talk to Him about it. Talk to Him about it. God has a way of humbling an individual. Let me tell you, He knows exactly how to humble you. And sometimes he humbles us in ways that are different than others because we're just built and we're just different. But God does know how to take care of when we complain. Sometimes He just reminds you of how much He's done for you. His Holy Spirit takes a soft way and gives you mercy and reminds you of your salvation. Reminds you of all the times He's brought you through, and He wants to turn that complaining around to something different. Complaining doesn't help, does it? Because most people don't listen anyway. Because sometimes they got their own complaints. So we have to be thankful for what God has put in front of us. We do. These people should be thankful. They've got not just one big area of land. They've got two big areas of land. But they didn't want that because it had too many hills. There was too much work. And on the other side of those hills was an enemy. Maybe God just gave them that land because they were fit to be able to do that. They had the people to do it. They had the strength. They had the courage to do it. But they just didn't want to. They just didn't want to. So we got to make sure that we're not complaining. Number four is we don't do it in our own strength. You'll never win a spiritual battle without God. Come on now. You'll never win a spiritual battle without the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never win a spiritual battle without the Holy Spirit. You can never win a spiritual battle without praying. You can never win a spiritual battle without leaning up on the Lord. And what we find out here is people try to do things, spiritual things, in their own strength. Can't do it. You can't do it. You can't. And you can't build godly ministries with just money and people. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You can't build something godly for the Lord and do it with the right heart just with money and people. You can't do it. God's not impressed by people, by the crowds of people, and he's not impressed by the beautiful things of buildings. Listen, heaven looks much more beautiful than any building we could build here. He's had so many angels and all that. Listen, God loves people. He does. But he's not impressed by some of the things we think that he is impressed about. You know what God is? He always looks at the heart. Because the heart is the true person. So we can't do it in our own strength. We have to do it in the Lord's strength. Amen? What we've done here, we've only been able to do it in the Lord's strength. Only been able to do it in the Lord's strength. The number five, which is the one of the hardest ones to do, because it is something that we all wrestle with. I don't care how strong you are, and mentally, spiritually, or physically, we all deal with fear sometime or another. Amen? Come on now, let's get it. Amen. We all deal with fear in some way. Sometimes we fear we don't have enough money in our account. Sometimes we fear because there's a disease that runs through the family and we think it might be on one of our kids. We fear that we're going to lose a job. We fear the Lord's not going to show up when we expect him to show up. Let me remind you about that too. When you expect God to show up, listen, he's already there before you even thought about him showing up. Sometimes God just chooses to be silent. But isn't just his presence enough? Amen. Isn't his presence just enough? So we need to remember, don't fear. How big a problem was this? I think this was the number one problem. Because when Joshua, you see in the end of Deuteronomy, you'll see that there was a moment that when Moses was getting ready to die, he was going to do his thing, whatever. He began to talk to Joshua about being strong and courageous. And then we flip over the next chapter, the next book over, we would see Joshua chapter 1. We see about 4 or 5 times that the Lord tells Joshua, be strong and courageous, young man. Be strong and courageous. Now, wait a minute. He was a fighter. He fought in some battles before that. But what does it mean to be strong and courageous? We think strong and courageous is a big warrior knight with a big spear, all decked out with everything. And we're like, ooh, that's scary. We think of somebody like Goliath. Let me remind you that David was strong and courageous. He brought no military armor down except for a sling and a couple of stones that he just picked up in some brook. Strong and courageous comes from here in the heart, in the soul, in the mind. It's that you can do all strength, you can do all things through God because he strengthens you to do it. You rely on the strength of the Lord and not yourself. Our eyes see what we see. And our eyes are easily deceived because we see something that is big and massive. And we're deceived by its look because it's powerful. And in the flesh, I would say, yeah, that's big and powerful. But because a believer, I can step back and say, wait a minute. I'm a believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I know that his angels are always around. God does know. He knows everything that I do. God is in the midst. I think there's more power and strength around me than what I can see in front of me. You see, they saw those trees. They said, there's too many of them. Hills. So much work. Up and down, all the time. Up and down, all the time. You see, when we had our first, little storefront down on State Street when we were about 25 people. We were upstairs in this upstairs there on the, we call it the building with the yellow door, if I remember right. And you could walk in the sanctuary and it used to be like a tumbling room or exercise. So you just, like the super thick, you just kind of had this step because you just bounce when you walked in. There was so much cushion. You almost looked like people were just like peacocks all the time. But we were up there and what it was, here it was. It's so hard. I would come there, but I just can't do the stairs. Okay, I get some people can't do the stairs. I get it. But these are people who could do the stairs. I just don't want to walk up the stairs. That's just, it doesn't look like a church. It's just, I got to go all the way up there. It's so high up there. And it was. It had a landing in the middle. It was. But you know what we did? We cut the trees down. We worked on the hills. And the rooms were black and pink, and I won't tell you what they actually really looked like. The rooms were very small, and it looked like that was like this was not right. We did a lot of painting. We did a lot of work in there. We redid the ceilings. We did a lot of things in there. And then the basement opened. The main floor opened. And we went out and we took that and we looked at that and we said, oh, wow, that's going to, we started to grow a little bit. We need more space, but we'll keep the top for our youth group and some other things. So we went down there and we started clearing some more trees. We started working over those hills and we started putting that together. We started to, hey, we put in some pews and we put some, one of our places in Florida gave us chairs. We were able to seat another 15, 20 people. And we cleared all that out and we were ready. We were doing it, but the parking was getting really tight. And then God opened the door for the old building across the street, so we moved all the way down there. We were moving. It's like, why are we moving so much? We're clearing, we kept clearing the land and we kept clearing the trees and woo. There was a lot of trees to do over there, a lot of hills to climb. And we were doing it, and we were working it over there. And then all that heating system went out. And the owner had a seizure, something. I forget what it was. But anyway, we ended up having to get out of there. And this, we come over here. And every place we got bigger. It got bigger and bigger. And now this is bigger. And now we had to knock the trees down and work on it. And some people would have said, well, just stay over there, stay down there. But God kept giving us more land and keep doing that and leaving what we had behind us because we needed more space. As you can see, we're still cutting the trees and working the hills. And then he gives us a building down the street. Folks, I'm telling you what, that was like three dumpsters. And the soup kitchen's there. We got a house, we had our first house, and we had to go through there and knock some trees down there. Literally, we knocked trees down. And we had to put the hills there. We had to work on that, and we got that going. Then we had to go to the next, and we had the next house, and God kept giving us more. So up to now that we have four houses and we're knocking those trees down and knocking all the hills and doing all that that God's given to us. And listen, I've heard complaints. But I'm going to walk right through it. Because God is working. God is moving. And there's still more hills to climb. And it isn't about doing more and more for yourself. It's when God says, over here, take the land. Take the land. Take the building. Take the building. And we're working on more. Not that we're going after more buildings, but we have one that we need to deal with. It's ours. It's already ours. And we need to finish it up. Because our business side of the ministries has taken over the full part of the church now. Parking's an issue here. We're praying about some things about that. Then my heart breaks when churches leave. And I thought, man, well, what was the vision that was here before us? That it had to just leave. The buildings may be more beautiful. Parking lot may be bigger. It doesn't matter if you got more or less people. You just want to be where God is and where God is moving. It doesn't matter what it looks like and all that. When God gives you something, he expects you to work it and do it. It's an old saying, bloom where you're planted. I believe if we chose and stayed, went out to highway, not off of, we went out to 9, we wouldn't be who we are today. We're blooming where he has planted us. And it's not the most likely place to start blooming, but we are blooming where he has planted us, and we're going to keep blooming. And he is going to keep growing it We keep watering it. We keep fertilizing it. God is going to continue to do the work that He has called us to do. Joshua says, it's a forest. Yeah, I get it. It's a forest. Clear it. Clear it. Push it out. Clear out those outlying areas. Areas will be yours. Also, drive out the Canaanites, even though they have iron chariots and they are strong. He says, drive them out. Push them out. And you know, some of the tribes never pushed out the full enemy, the enemy all the way. They were the ones that had the problems. And that's where you go into the book of Judges. They forgot. They forgot what God has done. Folks, never forget what God has done for you in your own personal life. Never forget the day of your salvation, the day of your baptism, and the day that He came to you when your life was at a crossroads of brokenness. Never forget how God brought you through. Even through pain and suffering, you know He was there. Amen? Amen? And never forget what He has done for this church. This church should not be doing what it is doing right now. It should not be doing anything of what it's doing right now. Clear trees. There's a time in my life, God says, it's time for you to clear some trees, Jimmy, in your own personal life. Cut down some trees. Climb the hills. Do the work. Maybe today you're at that place as well. Maybe God has given you a lot, but that you are complaining about what God has given to you and the extras. Maybe you're at that place where God has called you to do something that takes a little bit more work. Maybe a little bit more oomph into what He's called you. A little bit more extra in your faith. God does it for a purpose. God does it for a reason. I look back and you can read the scriptures. Some of these, you can just see and read through the joy of some of these tribes getting their lands. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it's great to even see some of the partnership that Simeon and Judah had. How they ended up just becoming together in the future. But then you read about Manasseh struggling. Struggling to look at something that looked just too hard. Let me tell you, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen? Look in the mirror and ask Him, is this too hard? God does a great job with people. And I bet you He's doing a great job in your life, I pray. But folks, I look and see what our future holds here. You know how how we work? I think Phil said earlier, but it is true. I'm not working on Vision Day this week. I've worked on it back in October. But to be honest with you, I'm all the way back in April. Once we get Vision Day, my mind's already kind of thinking after that, already within the next year. He's got so much for you, so much for me, but so much for this church. We are on the camera, aren't we? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be careful how I say this one as well, but we have a sister church that had so many ministries, amazing, had blocks of homes and ministries and blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. Biggest in the nation. I mean, you had blocks. You get a little scared. Get a little fearful. Get the wrong person in leadership. Not a vision. And people was coming up to me saying, yeah, you heard about, I won't even say the name because I don't want a big name. You heard about this and that? And they're like, man, they really had to do some things. They really made some really good decision to pull back. And I was like, no. Nope. Nope. God gave them that land and they gave it back. We can't afford it. Let me tell you, God doesn't. God has everything. Every dollar in the world belongs to Him. Every blade of grass is truthfully His. every raindrop, every cloud. And people build ministries, and they get to a moment, they get afraid. And they get scared. And they start pulling back. And they start looking at all these things. And people say, you just don't know really what's going on. No, I don't. But I do know this. I think I knew enough to know that they used to praise God for what God's given to them. But to turn around and live in fear, walk away, leave your vision on the ground. Listen, the worst thing we can do is say we've accomplished everything God's called us to do. It's time to step back and just relax. You know what would happen? We would lose each one of them one by one. Many of you would start fading away. No, I would never do that. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Because many of you would say, I got to go where God's working. I want to encounter where God's working. And I would say, that's a good thing. And people, this would end up becoming a church of about 20. The people that really just couldn't let go. And those churches are closing all the time right now. But all we have to say, we want to say this, not on our watch. Not while I'm a member. Not while I breathe. I want to cut trees. I want to move the hills. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to have a good attitude. I want to do it His way. I don't want to complain. I want to do it in His strength. I don't want to fear. I want to trust in Him. Folks, there's no other church I can see, honestly. This is not a prideful thing. I've never seen a church that God has touched in a mighty way in the whole state of Indiana than this one. And it's scary sometimes to serve God. It is. I'll admit that. And sometimes it is scary. And the best place to be when you have a little fear is to get on your knees. Because listen, this church shouldn't be doing what it's doing at all. Someone had told me this recently, and I'm going to close out, said this. If you're going to create it, you need to figure out how you're going to pay for it. I get that flaw. I get that business. I get that part of it. If you're going to create something, you need to figure out how you're going to pay for it. I get that. But when God tells you to do something, you do it. God trumps all mankind philosophies. Educationally, and people say, well, that's just foolish. Folks, I'm stupid enough to believe that when Jesus told Peter, you come, in a raging storm when it's impossible for a man to walk on water, and Peter said, if it's you, Jesus, I'll come. Take a step, and we find that a man walked on water. On faith in Jesus alone. That's what sustains this place. Faith in Jesus alone. Amen? Now, I don't know where your life is right now, but I know He does. I pray today that your life is right where it needs to be with the Lord. And if it's not, I know that He does call people to come and to get their lives right with Him. Today, we're going to have an opportunity today. So let's go ahead and stand. I do want to give you an opportunity.